Blog Talk Radio.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the Park. The RSV family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just going to jump right into it. I always tell us.
Gambling. What do you think about gambling?
It's
not gambling when you know you're
going to
win.
He's not coming out late. The RSV family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the park.
Welcome back to Inside the Park. We want to thank you guys for tuning in. It's World Series time. Everybody's locked and loaded, ready to go. Do want to warn all our listeners, though, if you hear any long periods of silence or Hank or I just seem like we're not in tune, don't fret. We just tuned out to watch the game for a minute. We'll be right back with you. It's not your internet connection. But, hey, you out there, you ready to go?
I'm ready to go, man. I'm a little bit on the downside right now, but I'm ready to go.
All right, the World Series just started, Game 1. We're in the fourth inning, so we're glad you're with us. We're going to give you everything you need to look for, everything you're going to need to break down this series, and we're going to tell you things to look out for and what you need to know. You can sit at that water cooler tomorrow and sound like you actually know what you're talking about. But before we get into the World Series, let's get into that NLCS. The Cardinals had a nice little lead. They were up 3-1. It looked like they were going to make this World Series, and they dropped 3 in a row to the Giants. My question for you, brother, is did the Cardinals choke, or did they just get beat by the San Francisco Giants?
Well, you know what? When I came on the show, I was going to say that they ran out of gas. I was really about to say that what I saw in those last three games was a team that pretty much had just hit the wall. You know, they couldn't hit anymore. Their pitching started to fail them. They gave up a bunch of runs in those last three ball games. And another telltale sign when you hit the wall, your fielding starts to fail you. And you start to see that a lot with the Cardinals. But what I've seen is a resilience from this Giants team. I don't think anybody who's watched postseason ball has really ever witnessed before, and we're seeing it again tonight. That this team is this team is doing some amazing things against all odds, and I can't call that a choke. I think that the Cardinals went as far as they could go, but I think that there was just a resurgence with the Giants. That just with just their will to win. If you watch those last two ball games, that wasn't a choke job. That was just a team that just wasn't going to lose.
Yeah, you know, I'm along those same lines. None of those games were really close games that came down to the end, and the Cardinals just crumbled. They just got flat-out beat. The Giants came in, they started hitting the ball. Their pitchers made pitches. they just looked like the better team in those last three games, so I'm right there with you. Now, had it been some close games and the Cardinals didn't execute down the stretch on some plays that they usually make, I maybe could give you the choke, but I think they just got flat-out beat.
You know, and the thing about it is that makes them very dangerous because you got a team that fears nothing. You have to ask yourself if you've been really watching the theme of this postseason, that you've watched some of these teams just look like world beaters, and then for some reason, and no warning, all of a sudden they just kind of fizzle. We saw it happen with the Yankees. We saw it happen with the Reds. And we've seen it happen with the Cardinals. You know, so You know, as a Tiger fan, I'm hoping that it happens right around game three with the Giants. But, you know, but right now they are still on that emotional high.
Indeed. And let's transition from the NLCS to the ALCS. The Tigers took care of business. They swept the Yankees. But after they did that, you heard a lot of talk referencing back to 2006.
Right.
For those of you who don't remember, in 06, the Tigers played the Cardinals in the World Series, and the Tigers had a pretty long layoff in between the ALCS and the World Series. Transition back to this year, the Tigers were off four games before this World Series was a start. So I want to ask you, Hank, do you think that this five-day layoff is going to harm the Tigers at all? And I'm sure you can go ahead and look at the score now. We're down 4-0.
Yeah.
So do you think this has anything to do with the long layoff, or do you think the Tigers will be all right going forward?
I think what I've seen so far in the first four innings of the ball game is pretty much an indication of how much the layoff is going to hurt them. I don't think that from what I've seen, if you go back to the 06 series, they just played abysmal baseball. I mean, they couldn't hit. They lost their hitting eye. They couldn't feel. The pitchers couldn't play their position. I mean, it wasn't just flukish stuff. It was routine baseball plays that they just flat out just did not execute. Having said that, anytime you're not playing for 5 days, it's going to hurt you some. I think we're seeing some of that today. That, you know, especially with Justin Verlander being off for 7 days, I watched two of those, the home runs that Sandoval pitched. He flat out just missed where Avila had him located. The first pitch, Avila wanted the ball outside and off the plate. He threw it high and in, and Sandoval didn't miss it. So I think things like that is going to take its toll on them early. I think the fact that they did do some scrimmaging this time, that I don't think it's going to be as much rust. They might drop today, but I expect them to play a much better series than they did in 06.
Yeah, I don't expect the layoff to harm them at all. In fact, I think it may help the Tigers.
Right.
The reason I say that is, we've all watched many of Justin Verlander games. That home run you talked about to Sandoval in the first inning, that's just what he does. In the first inning, he's not always had his best control, his best stuff in the first inning. He usually takes him that second and third inning to get into his groove.
Right.
So that one, I wasn't stressing too much about. And then the rest of these runs just to me appeared to be on bad break stuff. You got a ball hitting off the bag. You got a guy down 3-2 and you can't finish him off. Delvin Young hitting the ball right in front of the catcher and getting tagged out. These are things that I can't attribute to a long layoff. It just appears to me that they're down based on bad breaks. So I'm not too worried right now.
Right. I mean, you have to look at the fact that it's game one. You know, outside of the new playoff format, your season does not come down to one game. I think the Tigers got enough, you know, talent to, you know, what you want to do is split here. You know, you want to get one of these two games. So you got Pfister going tomorrow. This one isn't necessarily over yet, but just to take for granted that it is. You want to split this out in San Francisco and bring this back home. And if you do that, then you know conventional wisdom says you've done what you wanted to do.
That's right. That's right. All right. So let's. Transition on into some World Series talk. Well, first we're going to talk about some comments that Lance Berkman of the St. Louis Cardinals made. He called, they asked him about what he saw for the World Series, Tigers-Giants, seeing that he just got done getting beat by the Giants. They asked him what his thoughts were, and his response was that while things lined up pretty well for the Tigers, he said that the American League was Mickey Mouse baseball because they used a DH. Granted, he was a Yankee last year and actually was a DH, so he couldn't it's kind of like he's biting the hand that used to feed him.
Right.
But where do you stand on the American League versus the National League? Do you believe that the DH cheapens baseball? And which style of play do you prefer, Hank?
Listen, you know what? First of all, Lance Berkman is a hypocrite. All right? Let me start off by saying that, because any player who starts to age in this game and still wants to continue to play, they're breaking their neck to get to the American League. You know, being in an American League town, and I know, you know, and I call myself a baseball purist, but, you know, when you look at some of the pitchers around the league, when you look at your Clayton Kershaws, you look at your Justin Verlanders, you look at these guys, and, you know, and even Matt Cain, you know, it says something about watching those guys go out there and dominate, which I think the designated hitter allows you to do a little bit more. I think that it is baseball for what it is right now. I actually am in favor of it. I think that in the National League, you're basically throwing away at that bat every time, and I know the purists will say that, you know what, that's the strategy of the game. Yeah, but yet and still, you know, the game for me is, you know, go ahead and get the best hitters you can hit and let that pitcher go ahead and dominate. I wasn't a big fan of it. But especially now, what I've seen, when you get to the 8-9 hitter, you want to have a stick in there. You know, it's kind of cute when the pitcher gets a hit every now and then, or a Berrizito bunts his way on. But yet and still, that's just more headache for the manager. I guess to answer your question, I'm with the DH. I think that it adds more excitement to the game.
Hey, you know, I guess I'm on the other spectrum. I don't mind the pitcher batting. I appreciate the strategy that comes along with the pitcher batting. And, you know, I tend to think of myself as more of a strategist. So it's right up my alley. But, you know, hey, I'm a fan of a team that imposes a DH, and, you know, I can deal with that as well. I don't think that it's Mickey Mouse baseball. But, you know, I like watching a good National League contest from time to time. And I would like to see there be one uniform style of play, whether it be DHs all across the board or pitchers hitting all across the board. I think that the two leagues, because there's so much intertwined between them now, I mean, you're going to have next year, you're going to have interleague games throughout the whole season. We got to do something where the same rules apply across the board.
Next year, I think it's going to be really interesting because you're going to have interleague play throughout the year, I think that's going to force the American League pitchers to take more BP than they probably would in the past, knowing that they would have maybe 2 weeks in the middle of the summer to do so. I think it's going to make for an interesting dynamic, you know, and I think that before we jump the gun on that, let's see what kind of dynamic that does for the season. I think that, you know, I think the easy thing to do here, RJ, is to say, look, yeah, let's just go back to the way it was. But just that little interesting dynamic might make it enough just to make baseball just a little bit more interesting, because it's going to bring strategy to the American League managers. And for the National League teams now, they've got to keep a bat, you know, at higher. You know, you're going to start seeing National League teams possibly signing a guy to be a designated hitter because, you know, throughout the season, those games cannot just be thrown away like they are now. You know, you can't throw away. You may be playing in late August and September against a National League team and be a few, you know, games out of first. You can't throw those games away like you could right now. So that's going to make for a very interesting dynamic going forward.
Indeed, indeed. You kind of saw it this year with one team. I noticed the Philadelphia Phillies. They went out and picked up Jim Thome.
Uh-huh.
As soon as interleague play was over, they released him, and he got picked up by the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so probably will see picking up some guys just for that DH role, and then cutting them loose.
Well, and that's this year. You're going to have to, you know, again, going into the winter meetings, you're going to have to ask yourself, now, do we keep a bat on hand? How do we get this guy some innings? How we get this guy some swings? And that's going to be very interesting across the board. You look at somebody like Adelman Young, if you will. Okay, what's his worth going to be next season? Because we're talking about, you know, interleague play throughout. You know, Adelman Young, if you just had it like it is now, he's probably a liability after this postseason with V-Mart coming back. But now, you know, does he give you a worth with a power hitter with a bat? You know, that's going to be real interesting. It's going to be something to watch.
Indeed, indeed. All right, it's time. Let's do some World Series talk, Hank.
All right.
We got the showdown, the Tigers and the Giants. Before we get into predictions and what you see transpiring in the series, let's break down the Giants a little bit. Who do you think or who do you foresee as being the most important player for the Giants this postseason?
You know what? It's got to be Marco Scudero. And I know you're probably thinking about the other big names with this team, your Matt Cains, your Pablo Sandoval's, and even Buster Posey, the MVP, you know, candidate there. But Scudero has been a table setter for the Giants. He's been a table setter this entire postseason for them. He's played some amazing defense at second base. Like I told you guys, I was hoping that the Tigers would have made a deal for him while he was still with Colorado. You laughed at me. But right now, he's really proving his worth. He's done it again tonight. He's a tough out because he puts the bat on the ball. If he continues to be the table setter for the Giants, he's going to cause some problems for the Tigers. So he, you know, you keep an eye on him because he's kind of like been the straw to stir in the drink.
You know, I understand the Scudero pick, but I'm okay if Scudero gets on base. What I don't want, and the reason being, or the reason I see my pick as the most important guy for the Giants. Scudero's not going to kill you with one swing of the bat. You know, he's the guy who's going to single you to death. He may get a double here and there. But if he gets on base and then you got those big bats coming up after him, your Pablo Sandovals and your Buster Posey's, I think those are the most important guys for the Giants in this series, only because the Giants are so limited when it comes to power bats. They really need some guys to knock in those runs. And that's why I fear – in this series, Sandoval or Posey more than Scudero. I can live with Scudero getting singles. I don't want to see him getting singles and then the big guys hitting these home runs to score two and putting up crooked numbers.
That's a good thought there, RJ. But you also got to understand, like, if we look at just today, tonight, you get some flukish stuff like that with Angel Pagan getting a double off the bag. Now here comes Scudero come up. He works the daylight out your pitcher. Okay, because he's just not going to strike out. Okay, so now he's doing damage there. Now he gets on base, knocks in a run. Now he's on base, like you said, for the big guys. But he's been the catalyst of that whole thing. So.
Oh yeah, I don't deny that he hasn't been playing ball. I'm just saying I don't fear him as much as I fear Pablo or Buster. That's all.
I hear you.
Yeah. How about the Tigers? Who do you think is the most important player for the Tigers this year?
Well, you know, I have to go with Verlander. And I went with Verlander, even though, yeah, we got the big sticks in the middle. But here is a guy, saved tonight, that there was a possibility that could start the first game, the fifth game, or the fourth or fifth game, and then maybe the seventh game somewhere on short rest. You know,
yeah,
before the series.
1-5-7.
Huh?
1-5-7.
1-5-7. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Now, so that's a guy that could influence the entire series, one way or the other. And because if he comes out dominant and strong, you almost want to just kind of chalk off two games for the Tigers. But if he comes out like he did tonight, now that kind of changes your whole strategy. And then where does that put you for the rest of this series? Justin Verlander makes a big difference there, you know, as dominant as he is. And then what does that do, like, for tonight? He comes out, he's a little sluggish. Okay, what does that do for the confidence of the Giants? So very important player for the Tigers, can swing that momentum either way.
Indeed. And to add to that, Justin Verlander was my pick as well. Like you said, he's pitching. He could possibly pitch three games in this World Series. And prior to this game starting, you almost want to pencil Verlander for a win any time he comes to the mound. But if he can give you two wins out of this series, if I'm the Tigers, I feel pretty good scratching out two of them, any of my other three starters.
Right.
Therefore, yeah, JV was my guy as well. And another reason why I went pitcher for the Tigers is like we talked about earlier. If they are affected by this five-day layoff, it's usually the hitters that are most affected because they don't have the timing of their swing down.
Right.
So if you're going to have a problem scratching out runs, if you got a pitcher who's out there dominating, dealing, and he's not giving up any runs, like my dad used to say, if you hold a team to zero, the worst you're going to do is tie.
Right, right.
You got to have those pitchers pitching, and that's why I had Verlander as my most important player as well. I'm right there with you on that one.
Yeah. But, the funny thing about it is you ask yourself is there such thing as getting too much rest? You know, he had 7 days off, you know, and clearly, you know, his velocity was there, but it seemed like his location was off. So, you know, you ask yourself, is that too much rest for a Verlander?
Yeah, you know, I'm not too much worried. He's thrown a lot of pitches, a lot of innings this year. I think the rest probably has done some good. And like we said, man, a lot of the stuff that happened tonight, it was a little flukish. So I'm not bugging out completely over tonight's results.
Oh, okay.
I'm keeping a level head for now.
Well, we ain't got no choice, do we?
I was doing a little yelling before we got on the air. Believe
yeah,
me, I sound a little hoarse. That may be why. let's see. Let's break down these rosters, Hank. And what I want to do with you is just go down the line. We're comparing the Giants and the Tigers, obviously. Who do you see has a better lineup, Giants or Tigers?
Well, you know what? I'm going to put the edge on the Tigers, and because you just cannot – you cannot deny that you got two guys in the middle of your lineup that drove in over 100 runs. You've got the Triple Crown winner in Miguel Cabrera. You know, you've got a nice table setter there that's been there all year with them in Austin Jackson. You know, the MVP of the ALCS with, Delmon Young swinging a pretty good bat as he did. Then you get some other contributions from guys like Peralta. You know, I think that just given that, I think that once they get going, that they're going to be pretty formidable. I mean, to take nothing away from Pablo and Buster Posey. You know, you just when you measure that between Prince and Cabrera, you know, it's really a slam dunk in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you can go position for position, and I think the Tigers come out on top at everyone but catcher. I mean,
right.
First bench, you're taking Prince over Brandon Belt, obviously. Scudero and Omar Infante. I can see you going Scudero, but in my eyes, it's almost a toss-up. And again, down the line, I mean, the Tigers' top players, you got Miguel, Prince, and Austin Jackson. I think they start on the Tigers as well as on the Giants. I do agree that the Tigers definitely have a better lineup.
Yes, they do.
But how about starting pitching? Who's starting pitching are you taking?
Well, you know what? This is a slam dunk, too. Going into tonight, it was. The Tigers starting four had a 0.75 earned run average in the playoffs. You know, just absolutely dominant. Now, the question you ask yourself going forward, was that because of the Yankees just absolutely flaming out, or were they really that good? But we know for a fact that the history is with these guys that they're all very good pitchers, you know. We know that Scherzer was second in the league in strikeout. Justin Verlander, last year's Cy Young Award winner. We know Doug Fister came over here and was dominant. He also set a major league record for the amount of strikeouts in a game, consecutive strikeouts. Then Anibal Sanchez has also pitched a no-hitter in his career. So they've got a very solid, strong starting lineup, starting pitching. And I still think that that's going to be the factor in these playoffs, you know, save tonight. I think once these guys get going, we're going to see what really got the Tigers here.
Yeah, again, I'm on your side with this one. Starting pitching, I'll take the Tigers all day. out of the top four, out of our four pitchers, I would take all four of them over any Giant starter not named Matt Cain, honestly. So clear edge to the Tigers in lineup and starting pitching. Now let's get into the more
before
more
you do that, let me ask you, don't you think let me ask you this. Don't you think Matt Cain's perfect game is a little bit tainted because it came against the Astros?
Hey, man, you take it how you get it. 27 up, 27 down is all good. But I see what you're saying, man. That's a quadruple-A squad over there.
Hey, come on. Now, my man in San Diego with the crazy name, you know, held him to a scratch hit out there, you know, almost no hit him too. So, I mean, you know, he had like an over 4 ERA. So, I just want to throw it out there.
I know. Yeah, I hear you working. But, yeah. Interleague play, like we said. No, actually, next year the Astros are coming to the American League. So, if Verlander gets a perfect game against the Astros, I'm counting it. I don't care what you say.
You're right. You got a point there.
All right, what about relief pitching? Whose relievers are you taking?
Just based upon what we've seen so far, you have to give the edge to the Giants here. Basically, if I had any National League team in the World Series, I would give the bullpen edge to them. Basically because, listen, you know, because of the nature of the National League, you use your bullpen more. Your bullpen has to really play some shutdown, and they've done an incredible job. Affeldt's done a fine job. Romo's done a fine job out there. And think about this now. You know, Bumgarner hasn't been doing well, so they've had to use a lot of innings. They've put Lentz to come out there. He's done a fine job out of the bullpen. You know, they're doing work. You got to get the edge to the Giants here for no other reason that Papa Grande has imploded. We don't know what we're going to get from him. The Tigers are regulated to, you know, bullpen by committee as far as a closer. You're hoping that Phil Colt can continue his magic and Dotel and those guys. But let's face it, one of the reasons why Tigers starting pitching has been so dominant is because they've been getting able to go deep in the games, and then it's been a roll of the dice. In contrast, you don't have that with the Giants. They pretty much shut it down, and there has not been any drama when they went to that bullpen. And so, you know, advantage San Fran.
Yeah, and I'm going to get into who I believe is a reliever as well, but that guy I was telling you about, most important for the Giants, Pablo Sandoval, just hit his third home run.
There you go. Wow. It's off of Verlander?
No, Al Albuquerque.
Oh, well, there you go. That one's a wrap.
Yeah. I agree with you as well, your analysis on relief pitchers, Giants all day, which is why I think it's going to be very important in this series for the Tigers to get out to an early lead and a large lead at that, because if it comes down to a game of bullpen, that is one of our Achilles heels where I don't like our chances. So I think it's going to be imperative for the Tigers going forward to jump out to an early lead, or else, you know, it may be a wrap. I think that Leland will manage the bullpen okay, and I do like the fact that he's going with closer by committee, which will be used based on the situation and who's up to bat. I don't think he should just sign to and deliver the closer role to Valverde, and I like the way he's approaching it.
Right.
That being said, he doesn't have the horses to compete in the bullpen with San Fran.
No.
And then last but not least, defense. Who do you think has a better defense? I'm going San Francisco all day. They got some monsters in the outfield. It's a flat-out run. Shortstop Brandon Crawford, he can't hit worth a damn, but he makes up for it with his glove. You know, outside of Austin Jackson for the Tigers, I really don't know any plus gloves. Maybe Avisel Garcia, he can throw a little bit, but defense, I again, give a nod to the Giants.
I mean, that's another one. I mean, we've seen it all postseason. While the Tigers have played better defense coming into the season, you know, it was going to be one of their Achilles heel that was going to hurt them, or we thought that defense, that they were going to come into this season and simply outslug teams. And so given that, you know, you can't give them a defensive edge against anybody, actually. Even though you look at Johnny Peralta's played good ball, Austin Jackson is a potential Gold Glove center fielder, but you've had, you know, outfield by committee, you know, with Quentin Berry, with Avisail, now with Delman Young on your corners, you know, you haven't had a whole lot of stability out there. Where just tonight I watched the left fielder for the Giants, you know, take a hit right away from Cabrera. So these guys are going to be very formidable with the Mets. So the Tigers are going to have to hit if they're going to stay with them.
That's right. That defense, you know, we saw what happened when we played the Cardinals in 06.
Right.
Defense can be your Achilles heel in a short series. So, as a Tigers fan, I hope they're up to the task. Finish this out, this sentence for me, Hank. If the Giants win the World Series, it'll be because of what?
The Tigers are flat. It's going to be a repeat of 2006. They don't come ready to play. They give games away. You all of a sudden you got players like Sandoval looking like, you know, Babe Ruth out there. You know, they simply just don't play their game. And they don't play their game, and the Giants, you know, already on a high. Just takes advantage of that. I think we're seeing a lot of that tonight. Barry Zito, God bless him, but for God's sake, he was a Cy Young Award winner 10 years ago. 10 years ago, okay? I mean, you got to get to this guy. You've got to get to him, and yet you go 4 innings, 5 innings, you haven't scored any runs. That's inexcusable. That's flat to me, okay? That's not giving your team a chance to win. You know, Justin Verlander, you come out, you know, give up 4 runs in the first 3 innings. That's flat to me. You know, everything else being considered, that's flat to me. You just don't – you're not ready to play when you're doing that. And if that continues the entire series, then we're looking at a repeat from 6 years ago.
Yeah. The way I finish it off is the Giants win the series. If you see a lot of close games, in the sixth inning, you see some 3-2, 2-1, 4-2. You don't want to see a lot of close games in the later innings with the Giants, because that's when their bullpen will just come in and shut things down. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, and it also gives, in close ball games, it gives your defense a chance to mess something up or make a bad play that can result in a big inning. So the Tigers, like I said earlier, they need to come out, get some early leads, and they need to put these guys away.
Right.
Fighting them all these runs is not going to cut it. Not with our bullpen.
No.
So, in the Tigers' case, finish the sentence off. If the Tigers win, it'll be because of what?
Because their starting pitching is dominant. Because what we've seen all postseason continues, that your Pfisters and your Scherzers and your Sanchez's are shutting teams down. Enough for this team to start to really get rolling, and they start playing like they have been playing before. If that happens and we're going 6-7 innings and we've given up 1 run and we're hitting and we're scoring, this series is over in 5 games. But, you know, again, that starting pitching has to be what it's been all playoffs. And if it wavers any, this is going to be a tough one for Tiger fans to swallow.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with you. This one, it's got to be on the pitching staff. They got a bit of a rocky start tonight. But like we said, but this layoff, if the bats are behind, the pitcher's got to stand up and the pitcher's got to make something happen. They definitely have the staff to do it. In 06, they didn't get it done. By they, I mean the pitching staff. But hey, this team was built for the playoffs. They got some strikeout pitchers. You know, JV is a strikeout pitcher. Max Scherzer was second in the league. Two Verlander in strikeouts. They got to get it done. And the thing that scares me as a Tigers fan is that the Giants make a lot of contact. So they may render our strikeout pitchers null and void, but for the Tigers to win, it's got to be on the pitcher's shoulders.
Well, see what I've seen tonight, you know, just watching the first four or five innings. What the Giants' bats are very quick. They're very, very quick. And Justin walks in there, and he's trying to overpower him. It wasn't 100 miles an hour, but it was 96, it was 95, and they're on it. They're all on it. That, to me, is throwing, okay? And, you know, you've got to get these guys off balance. And you didn't see a whole lot of that today. They stand up there and just launching the rock. You got to get them off balance to the point where, if you're going to be a – they swing the contact. That's why, you know, they weren't nowhere near the top with home runs or anything like that. But you got to get them off balance so you can get that ground ball, so you can get these things, and so you can get some of these strikeouts. And so – maybe the power pitching was not the best thing in the world for this game. We can second guess all day long. But you got to be able to nibble the corners on this team. You just can't just try to blow them away with a fastball. I think we've learned a valuable lesson tonight.
Indeed. Here's the hoping they can turn it around.
Yeah.
Prediction. Who you got winning the series, Hankin, in how many games?
I still have the Tigers winning. I still think the Tigers can win it in five. My feeling has always been that they were going to split in San Francisco. I never thought that they were going to take both games out there. And in fact, I wasn't too surprised if they were going to win this one. I've kind of had a hunch that they were going to come out flat. Okay, you played baseball, you've been around the ballpark. That first game coming out and you ain't really played. You know, after an emotional series, there's a letdown. The Tigers are playing on a letdown that the Giants aren't playing on, and they had to go on the road. So I'm not surprised too much about tonight. I still expect them to come out tomorrow and win, and I expect them to go back to Detroit and wrap it up. I think Detroit, once they get back here, is going to be electric. And the Tigers have an amazing home record this year at Comerica Park, and I don't care who they're playing. I think that, you know, if they can come back home with a split, they've done their job. And then it's on from there. So I picked them in five, and I'm going to stick with that.
Hank, we're on a roll tonight, man. I prior to this game, I had the Tigers in five as well. Reason being, game two, you got Bumgarner starting against Doug Fister. And, again, Fister's been lights out. Madison Bumgarner has not. He's given up a whole lot of runs in his two playoff starts. So much so that they actually skipped him a start in the NLCS. So I do see the Tigers touching up Bumgarner tomorrow and getting the victory. That takes you into game three and four. Game four, they're throwing Matt Cain, who's not as good a pitcher outside of San Francisco. He's not a good pitcher on the road. So I do see the Tigers being able to beat Cain. And who's the third starter? You got Vogelsong. That'll be a tough matchup, but like you said, the Tigers are damn good at home, and it's a lot tougher to pitch to an AL team when they're at home and you're throwing in that DH.
Right.
Our DH being Delman Young, their DH being Aubrey Huff. I'll take our chances all day with that matchup.
See, RJ, here's the thing. You know, when you coming in, this really patterns out well for the Tigers. I think that, you know, you go ahead, you got all this momentum. If you're the Giants, you've beaten your ace. You know, the Tigers, knowing that they got Fister, and, you know, Fister has done this before. If you recall in the regular season where, you know, Justin, I guess it was against Kansas City or someone, he just flat out got shelled. And Fister came right back in the next game and quieted the storm. And I think you're going to see that, you know, tomorrow. You know, and even if they don't win tomorrow, I still think coming back home, you know, getting rolling into the series, you're going to see the Tigers bring it. They've got a better team this year than they had in 06. You know, you were relying on a lot of players that were playing out of their mind, your Brandon Inges of the world, that were playing out, you know, Guillen, you know, that was playing out of their mind, and all of a sudden they're in the World Series, and then it just all crumbled. They've got better team. They got better athletes. They've got a middle of a lineup that I just don't see the Giants shutting down Cabrera and Prince Fielder, okay? So you and AJ's already got a hit tonight, you know, Infante's got a hit tonight, and Prince is starting to hit. I just see them coming around, and I think they'll be fine.
That's right. And not to mention game five, you got Verlander coming right back around.
A pissed off Verlander at home.
What's that?
A pissed off Verlander at home. Yeah.
That's right. And shout out to my brother JP for giving me tickets to game five. He asked me, he's like, why you want to go to game five? I said, hey, man, Verlander's on the hill. I think they'll close it out in five. And check him out. He's actually coming on the air after us, to all the listeners. He's doing some NBA talk. So check his show out, I think, 11 o'clock tonight. It should be a good one.
Awesome.
So I think we about wrapped it up on this World Series, man. Before we close it out, Hank, it's been a great year. Give me a bold prediction for 2013.
My bold prediction for 2013, and this really should not come to no surprise to you, but my bold prediction would be that the L.A. Dodgers will make the World Series. I just got to believe that with all of these free agents out here, with that new ownership group they have, with that money they got to spend, that they're going to do everything and move heaven and earth. They came very close this year, and they're going to do everything to move heaven and earth to get themselves in the position to win the West. You know, I think that, you know, the fact that they want to have that rivalry with the Giants, that old school rivalry from back in the day, and I look at them as being that team in the West. They cost me a pop this year, but I'm not going to waver. I'm going back next year with them.
Wait till I tell Mike this one. Surprise, surprise. Hank picks the Dodgers to make the World Series. Who would have thunk it?
No, that's right.
All right, my bold prediction, and granted, this is bold, is that the Yankees will not make the playoffs next year.
Oh.
I see the Yankees as either getting very old next year. I mean, we saw them getting very old this year. So they're either going to continue to get old, or they're going to go with a youth movement, get rid of some of that old. And that means, you know, getting rid of your A-Rod, your Nick Swisher, your Ibanez. And in doing that, I don't think that they'll make the playoffs. So either way, with the youth movement or the old continuing to get older, I got the Yankees not making the playoffs is my bold prediction in 2013.
That's not a bad pick. You know, when you look at what they're doing, and there's a lot that the Yankees need to do. You know, and they've got a lot of money wrapped up into that lineup, into that roster. And let's just face it, there's a lot of guys. Robinson Cano you could build around, okay? But Curtis Granderson is 32 years old. And, by the way, it's not news to anybody around here about Curtis Granderson's inabilities to produce in the playoffs. If you recall when he was in Detroit, you know, he wasn't tearing it up here as a younger player. Now, he's dynamite in the regular season, but he can be had. You know, what are you going to do with a Mark Teixeira? Does he hang around anymore? And how much do you get into this free agent market? You know, you got an up-and-coming Orioles team. The Rays aren't going anywhere, you know. You got the A's that's going to be pushing in the West. You know, maybe not enough to win the West, even get into the playoffs, but enough to knock you off your perch in the East by losing ball games there. And then, by the way, the Red Sox, and what are they going to do? So it's going to be interesting. That's a good pick.
Thank you. And not to mention, I also want to throw out there, you know, CeCe has got elbow issues.
Yeah.
You know, their rotation is kind of it could be up in arms. They said Michael Pineda is not going to be ready at the start of the season. You know, it could be a downturn for New York. So stay tuned, y'all.
You got
definitely something to look out for.
Yeah, they've got some real bad injuries that guys have to overcome. Not just Jeter, but you got to remember Mariano Rivera wants to come back after tearing his ACL. You mentioned Pineda. You know, these guys have got to come back off of injuries, and are they going to be the same players? They're older. It could get real ugly in the Bronx next year.
Yeah, and that's what happens when you get old, man. Stuff doesn't start working like it used to.
That's right.
So we done closed out this World Series, closed it out, took it in 2013. This is going to be our last show for the baseball season. Make sure you do follow Real Sports Guys on Twitter. We'll let everybody know when we're coming back, probably when spring training starts up. Or check out the website. I'm sure they'll put posts up on the website, www.realsportsguys.com. It was a blast. Any shows you guys missed, please go check them out in iTunes. Just search under Real Sports Guys. We're right there. I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in all year. Hey, anything you want to say?
Yes, I do. I want to say thank you to you, RJ, and to Mike. It's been a pleasure. Every week this summer, you know, to right now through the World Series, just talking about baseball, you know, just the twists and the turns of what's been an amazing 2012 season. Who would have thought that, you know, we get to this point, and as much, you know, angst that we had, you know, here in Michigan over the Detroit Tigers, that they will be playing for a championship. We look up and we see teams that we had predicted that totally imploded, teams that we didn't even see coming, you know, make this just an amazing season. I want to just say again that I appreciate the opportunity. I look forward to next year and the Go Tigers.
I second that. Go Tigers. Go ahead and take us home, man.
All right, that'll be the ball game for the season. You drive home safe.
Peace, y'all.